today on the TMZ Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the TMZ Podcast. I'm Charlie Cotton and joining me today is Eric Colley. How are you, Eric?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good, man. It's been quite a week of news thus far, hasn't it?
And we're only halfway through.
I know, man. What else is going to happen to Diddy in the second half of the week?
Jeez, it's hard to even imagine.
It is, because we're getting videos now from inside the raid, and God, they dumped the place.
They raided. They definitely raided.
So we'll talk about that. Rebel Wilson, she is now talking about what Sacha Baron Cohen did to her that upset her so much. It's quite something.
He wanted her to do something on set.
Okay, so we'll talk about that. Christine Quinn from Selling Sunset. You remember last week she asked for a restraining order against her husband, Christian, after Christian allegedly threw a bag of glass at her and it missed and it hit her son. And so he was arrested and everything. Now he is clapping back, telling his version of events, and it's very different.
He's trying to get a restraining order against her.
Yeah, it's like, I'll see your restraining order and I'll raise your restraining order.
It's getting ugly.
And our Almost News segment is about maybe the most famous athlete in the country right now.
Right.
So I don't know why Caitlin it's Almost Clark, News.
Game changer.
Caitlin Clark, big news for her. But to begin with, the feds, they raided Diddy's houses, and now some video evidence is coming out showing the destruction the feds left in their path. We'll play a bit of the video now if you're watching on YouTube, but there's stuff strewn about everywhere, drawers ripped open, belongings scattered, safes broken. It looks like that they were particularly targeting Diddy's electronic equipment. You can see pieces of computer on the floor. It's clear they wanted hard drives or something else that they would have seized them and going through them now looking for potential evidence.
Right, and Diddy's attorney's now come out and he's saying this was gross overuse of military level force. He maintains, of course, Diddy's completely innocent and this was excessive. It is a lot of, you see like they drilled into safes, they ripped his computers apart, there's stuff all over the place. We don't know exactly what they were looking for. We know it's all related to human trafficking and a lot of other charges. Diddy's maintaining his innocence through all of this. And let's say he is completely 100% innocent. Do they have to pay for this?
The cleaning fee?
Yeah, the government. Are they like, sorry, we destroyed your house and didn't find anything? Like, do they just get, I guess they just get to do that.
There should be like, with every raid, it should afterwards be, some people who come to the door saying, okay, hi.
The government cleaning force?
Yeah, like with their little Swiffer things and come in. But yeah, Diddy's calling it a complete witch hunt. I don't know. Maybe it'll turn out that he's innocent of what he's being charged of, but there's so much smoke now and there's so many different accounts kind of alleging similar actions. He got up to some weird stuff at the very least and criminal at, the worst.
Right. And we were saying if the government does this, if they don't find anything, but I imagine for them to do a raid like this, they've got to have a lot of, not evidence against him, but like they've got to have a real reason to go do this.
Well, that guy, it was Rodney something that, he had tried to, alleged things against Diddy maybe a month ago.
Right.
And he was a guy that like rocked around with Diddy. I think he was kind of documenting his life a bit. He would have, told cops if he thought that there was stuff on tape or if there was other evidence. I'm sure there are witnesses and people cooperating with the feds basically saying, this is what Diddy does and this is where he keeps, tapes or something like that raid.
If he was doing this and was filming it somehow, people would know.
Yeah.
If nothing else, the people involved, if they talk to women who say, yes, he did this, he filmed this, then that's cause to go in and raid his homes and look for this stuff. And we'll find out what they found.
Totally. Another story coming out of this is that an alleged drug mule for Diddy. This kid was named in Rodney, the guy I talked about before, in his suit, saying that he's got this kid who's like a drug mule who apparently, allegedly, carries around all of like Diddy's stuff.
His narcotics, allegedly.
And so when the plane was stopped in Miami, this kid was, there was cocaine and marijuana found on him. Unspecified amount, but he's already been booked, mugshot and all, and he's like being bailed out.
Yeah. Imagine that kid. So you imagine you're that kid and you know you have this bag full of all these drugs and you start seeing on your phone on the plane, like, Diddy's house is raided. You're like, oh, crap.
Oh, no.
Like, what?
You can you flush it down the plane toilet?
No, there's no water. I don't think it works
no,
like that.
No, you're screwed there.
That blue ice just shoots out of the plane. And it's just raining cocaine right. over Miami.
Also, what's another story from this? He had to sell all his shares in Revolt, the company he started, Diddy. Back in 2013, he started it. But he's recently, and I don't know, this is, must be to time up with all these allegations.
Right.
That he wanted to, or the company wanted him out so that they could continue operating. Because if it's Diddy company still, that's probably going under.
Right. So he stepped down last fall when this started coming out. And that could just be, depending on how this all goes, because we've seen stuff like this before, that could be the beginning of Diddy stepping away from things and divesting himself of stuff and, you know, kind of his empire coming apart.
Right, right.
Like, there will be other stuff. Other companies want nothing to do with him probably after this.
I must say, in the footage of his house being destroyed, it's a very gray, sterile house. That's like,
yeah.
I just got, there's very little, if none, no art on the walls, and it's just gray carpets and gray walls and a lot of clothes everywhere now.
As, you know, as sort of extravagant as you always picture Diddy being and stuff, I kind of thought his house would be wilder.
Yes,
looking.
It's very bland and sterile. It makes me feel a little depressed.
Yeah, remember all those videos where he's like in the puffy suits and the shiny stuff and all that?
It's just not that at all.
No, it just looks like a, yeah, just like a like suburban house.
Van Nuys apartment or something like that.
Little plastic Target drawers and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird to see inside the house.
Easier
like
for the
that.
Feds to go through, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. R-A-K-U-T-E-N.
Okay, on to our next story. Rebel Wilson claims that Sacha Baron Cohen asked her to stick her finger up his butt.
Right.
It's quite a claim coming out in her new memoir, coming out in a couple days. She also says that it felt like every time I'd go to speak to Sasha, he'd mention that he'd want me to go naked in a future scene. I was like, huh, I don't do nudity, Sasha. And then one time he summoned her to set. And when she got there, he dropped his pants and he said, okay, I want you to stick your finger up my ass. She says, I was shocked. I was now scared. I wanted to get out of there. So I finally compromised. I slapped him on the ass and improvised a few lines as the character. Now, that's pretty, I guess, crazy allegations. But Sasha's team now has a bunch of witnesses, eyewitness accounts who say the finger up the butt scene was scripted and that Rebel knew about it all along.
Right. They're not denying it. Exactly.
They're not denying that he asked her to do right. that, but you know, Sacha Baron Cohen has pretty crazy comedy and a lot of nudity and a lot of graphic. It's gratuitous stuff.
Right. One of his most famous things is the Borat, the thong that he pulled up over his shoulders, that bright green thong. Remember that?
Yes.
Like that's what he does.
That's his style of comedy.
Right. But she's saying so he said, she said, and she's like, no, it was not in the script, and you just wanted me to do this, and you know, the continually asking her to get naked. I could see that would make you very uncomfortable.
Yes, I definitely think so as well. And there's a power dynamic there. Like, she's new on the scene at that point.
This was for the movie The Brothers Grimsby back in 2016, and she had been famous for a few years, but he was a much bigger star.
But he likes nudity, which isn't sort of like sexy nudity. He likes sort of like mocking sort of nudity and yeah, like it's gross not, sort of nudity.
It's not sexual. It's just ridiculous.
So I can understand her going, I'm not going to be the subject of, you know, that sort of ridicule. I don't want my family to, that sort of stuff. I'm not here just to be viewed as like whatever, you know right. what I mean? But I can also understand from Sasha's point of view, that's the sort of movies he makes.
And I could see that he maybe would have thought that she would be that kind of person, because remember her early persona after Pitch Perfect and stuff, she was that sort of, not doing nudity, but like gross out, wild, physical comedy.
She was,
She was pretty extreme herself back then, so maybe he thought, oh, she's going to be perfect for this. And she's like, no, I'm not putting my finger up your butt.
Right.
It's not an unreasonable request to not put your finger up somebody's butt.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, this, apparently the script was just like, you have to try to get it up my butt. I don't know what the actual, you know, it was going to look like.
Like most people, neither one of us saw that movie.
No, true. I mean, the teaser looks pretty good, actually. I might go back.
You going to watch it now?
Maybe. But yeah, these two are really coming to a head. She's saying now that it's karma, that the movie didn't perform well.
Right. Well, she says she also told producers at the time that she would not be promoting the movie, which sort of, you know, adds weight to what she's saying is that, yeah, why would she not promote the movie unless she had some really bad experience on the set?
She definitely felt uncomfortable. She definitely felt uncomfortable. And if that, I don't know if Sasha is sort of like directly to blame for it, or he's just making his own style of movie. And maybe she just wasn't right for it after all. You know what maybe. I mean?
And to his point that he's saying that, you know, it was in the script. It was his team provided 9 anonymous crew members saying that it was in the script. So it's his people saying, here are 9 people, we can't tell you who they are, who all say it was there.
Well, surely scripts are in black and white. Like, let's see a copy of the script.
You think, right?
Maybe in coming days.
Yeah, I don't know.
I forecasted the news.
I could see being on one of his movies, if you're not 100% into it like he is,
yes.
He's a special kind of person.
Other people have got naked in other... I can just see it into my memory, some stuff from, like, when Borat comes to America with his manager and his manager's naked everywhere.
Right.
Oh, God.
It's not for everybody.
No, it's not.
Not for everybody.
Okay, on to our next story. Christine Quinn from Selling Sunset, the villain of Selling Sunset. Well, she had some pretty astounding allegations against her husband last week, saying that he sort of assaulted the son and assaulted her, and he was taken away by cops. Well,
threw a bag of glass at them.
Right. Crazy stuff. Well, now he is finally responding to it. He's filing a restraining order on her and saying a very different story. He says that the argument where the cops were called erupted over 2 of their dogs, which pee and poop on all over the place. You know,
and
that relates to me, to be honest.
You peeing and pooping all
the time? No, just dogs.
You're not quite housebroken?
No.
No, I get, you know, I have 2 dogs. We have one we've had a year now, and he's not quite totally mastered not pooping in the house.
Yes.
He does it like once a day when we're not there. So his point is that she got these dogs. She's not getting them housebroken. That they you know, ruined something of his of value, peed on it or something.
Yeah.
In a room that he had blocked off from them, and he goes in, and he's like, she's just sitting there with the dogs. And is not even trying to discipline them in any sort of way or teach them. And he got mad, and he says there was no broken glass, that he grabbed a trash bag full of paper towels and stuff, probably to clean up the dog's mess, and just threw it at the wall. Not at her, definitely not at their son, but just at the wall out of frustration. And then she called the cops, and he got arrested that in a robe, which is not how you want to get arrested.
No, barefoot in a robe.
Right,
glasses,
not a good look.
It is a weird photo, that one.
Yeah, but now, so he's saying it's like, she's crazy, and she's just trying to set up a divorce and get custody of our son. And so she's trying to create this narrative that I'm abusive and I'm not.
He's worried that she's going to abduct the son. Whatever that means, like that's what he's worried about. And once in a, well, I don't know why you need 2 restraining orders. If one is granted, then,
right,
you know.
Right. You don't, because you want to be the one to say, I don't feel safe because of that one.
Yes.
Not that that one doesn't feel safe because of me. Because this is definitely going to lead to a custody battle here. Which, that's the saddest thing, is the kid.
The poor kid.
Because either his mom is this manipulative liar, or his dad is this violent, abusive guy. It seems like at least one of those 2 things is true.
Or both. You know,
or both.
Maybe it's in the middle, because I think that Selling Sunset and the character she portrayed on Selling Sunset isn't the sort of... She was a manipulative liar on Selling Sunset. She was maybe the best villain in reality show history. She was just... Everybody hated her, and you could see why on the show. And so now when he's like basically, you know, accusing her of being manipulative and a liar, anyone who's watched Selling Sunset, that's your interpretation of who she is. So I don't know if he's like just using what we already think of her as somewhat of a defense for him and what he did, because I know he, like, he's got a checkered past too. It's going to be impossible to figure out what is the essence of the truth.
So when they're doing this, when they're in court, can he show clips from the show to be like, look, over and over again, she's manipulative and liar?
Yeah.
Like, can you now use reality shows against people as a character statement?
Like, call in Chrishell Stouse as, like, a character witness and say, that girl's a bitch.
Yeah, you just have to have, like, at the witness stand, like, a table with wine so they can just, like, flip it over in the middle, you know, and throw glasses of wine at each other. But
it's just, it's interesting that this is, has happened to one of the biggest reality stars we got. And, but it's,
but yeah, you said she's the villain on the show. Like, it kind of makes sense. I mean, there's, we know it's all scripted and kind of fake and presented a certain way, but it is a reality show. And if you are the biggest villain, at some point, you might be a villain outside of that.
Right. True. All right. Okay. On to our final story. Almost news, even though this woman's a star, the biggest star in college hoops, male or female, is Caitlin Clark. And Caitlin Clark just got an offer from Ice Cube and the Big Three League. And the Big Three League's about to be on X, Twitter. You know that?
Right, yeah.
You're going to stream it live. For $5 million. $5 million to play. It's 8 regular season games. And if you make the finals, there's 2 more. So that's 10 games. $5 million. Do you know how much the highest player in the WNBA last year got for an entire season?
Less than $5
million? $242,000.
That's insane.
For a whole season.
And this is for 8 games, $5
million. Yes.
Why would she say no?
Well, she's already sort of like registered for the draft. And
she's she's first round pick. I mean,
no, she's the first pick.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, number one. And the team has already, the Fever has already said, we're going to take her as number one. If she could do, the Big Three says we're cool with her doing both. But the WNBA is not going to agree to that.
No, and the NBA doesn't like the Big Three.
No.
Like, there's some beef there. So I don't know if they're going to be like, hey, go ahead and do this. But you almost think the NBA should, because just this story, that her getting the $5 million and stuff, it's such a higher profile for, you know, particularly women's basketball doesn't get the viewership that men's does. She is such a breakout star. She could be transformative for the WNBA.
She could, but the WNBA wants to keep her transforming our league, not off there transforming Ice Cube's.
She can do both, a rising tide lifting all boats, you know?
But she might have to choose. Do I want less money and more sort of like, it's like almost like the golf thing, LIV Golf or like PGA Golf. Do you want the money, but also it's like not a great, I don't know.
She's so young. I mean, she's still in college. If you're her, what do you do? Because you've got $5 million dangled in front of you, and that's a lot. But she could potentially, if she, you know, does really well in the WNBA, she could be so much bigger.
Right, true.
Do you try and bet on your future or take what's in front of you right now?
I think you take the WNBA deal and look to secure, like, sponsorships and merchandise and earn your money that way, because she's such a big star. Let's get T-shirts out there. I'll do your ads. But if she had to choose the money in the Big Three or I think she'd choose the WNBA.
I think you'd have to.
Would you choose that if you were choosing?
Yeah, because you could potentially make a whole lot more that way. And even if, you know, at some point, the Big Three, you can go back to that if you want, if Ice Cube would still have you.
That's for retired.
And she's such a good player, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, she could retire at 30 and still go make $5 million and be fine.
It's crazy that March Madness is on right now and everyone's looking at this college sport and she's the biggest star out of any of the genders.
She set the all-time scoring record for a season for a college athlete, male or female.
Incredible.
That's good for her.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, thank you very much for joining me on the pod today, Eric.
Yeah, always fun.
And we'll see you guys here tomorrow. Goodbye.